You're listening to Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to Behind the Music Biz. I'm your host today, Ike Everard, talking about photography, videography, all kinds of stuff today. And our guest is Damian Brunton. Damian, great to have you in the studio.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Good. Just busy, but glad to be here.
Totally. So for those who don't know, Damian is an awesome photographer, YouTuber.
Great title.
Reel maker. I know you don't like being pigeonholed into that, but
TikToker, you can throw
TikToker,
that
out. You know, you've built up quite the social media following through your work though, which is pretty impressive, and I think people will be excited to hear about that. But for those who don't know you, can you just give a little bit of background on kind of what you do and how you came into the industry?
Yeah, so I'm a 21-year-old photographer, whatever you want to. I have so many titles you can name, but I'm 21 years old. I'm from California, Northern California, and my dad got me into photography, and once I tore my ACL, started photography, blew up on TikTok my senior year of high school, filming high-quality videos of people lip-syncing and dancing, and ever since then, it's taken off and became a career. Didn't go to college, and I'm still on that same gap year that I told my mom I would take, and it's been 4 years now.
There you go, the famous four-year gap
year.
I mean, it's funny how that works, though. You just start doing something one day, and it takes off. Did you start posting to social media? What was kind of your first move when you took the leap into doing what you're doing?
I had always posted like senior portraits that I'd shot my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, and a little bit senior year, and then just random photo shoots, sports photos and stuff, just on my Instagram. Never really reels, never posted on TikTok. And then my senior year of high school, I decided to post a high quality video of someone dancing, and it took off. I had 130 followers on TikTok, posted it, and in 30 minutes, I think I had 7,000 followers on TikTok.
Crazy.
And because back then, it was way easier to gain followers on social media and TikTok in general. And the video ended up getting, I think at the end of it right now, I think it's at like 10 million views and like a million likes. And it was crazy. That whole day, all I did was just sit there and just refresh my TikTok. And I think I ended up gaining like 40K in 24 hours off that video. And so ever since then, I was like, okay, well, let me try this again. And it just kept going viral. And I was like, this is crazy.
What is that feeling like as you're just sitting there like, this is really working?
Oh, it was surreal. Like I think I might have been 18. It was either 17 or 18. And no, I was 17. So being 17 at the time and just like having no social media traction, never thought photography was going to be my full-time career. Like it was always a thing, but it was never in my head was, that's all I was going to do my whole life. And then once that hit, I was like, this is sick. Let me keep doing it. And kept doing it. It's just such an awesome feeling to like be able to finally like have work that people had seen. And it was super sick.
Yeah. I mean, getting that out there. Do you remember who the video was of? I mean, obviously.
It was of my like really good friend, Shyla. We were just on a photo shoot. It was our first time ever shooting, actually. And I was like, do you want to film a video of you dancing? It's really awkward. And she was like, sure. Like, you've never done this. And I was like, never. Like, this will be a first. And it just worked. So it was fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And now, obviously, you've done so many of those. And
thousands.
That's kind of become like, you know, can we say that's your thing?
Yeah, no, like, for sure. I mean, I started the trend on TikTok 4 years ago. So everyone that I shoot with is always, can we film one? Can we film one? So yeah, I guess so.
Which, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but that can be a double-edged sword, right? I mean, you'll get a little bit pigeonholed. Do you ever get kind of sick of doing that style?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I've definitely been in a creative block the last probably 2 months, and I want to say it's from those for sure, because those are what gets me views and stuff on social media, but it's not always what I love doing, but it's something I have to do. Keeps me really relevant in the space. So that's why I do it. But I definitely want to ease my way out of them for sure, because it's rough sometimes.
Yeah. You know, my mom always says, if you like 80% of your job, that's incredible. You know, if you like half of it, that's pretty good. So
no, that's how
that's
I feel.
The work part. Like, yeah, that's not the worst thing in the world. What is it that you love to do? I mean, photos, what would you be doing if you could? Like,
I would say photos, the YouTube videos, I really love doing. They just show more of a personality from me, the creator I'm working with, and everything around that is just super fun for me. I love being able to show my personality on there, be in front of the camera for once, and it's honestly, those are my favorite thing to do is probably the YouTube videos.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the YouTube videos are great. And it's funny because, like, looking at your social media, like, you grew it to the point it's at without really showing your face so much, right? I mean, people didn't really know who is Damien. They know your work and they know the people you're shooting with. But what was that like to switch over and do the YouTube videos and put yourself on camera?
It's definitely hard because if I would have posted myself throughout the 3.5-4 years before I decided to finally take the leap and put myself in front of the camera, it definitely would have been a way easier transition. But now, diving full deep into it, never showing myself on camera was definitely is making it way harder. And it's definitely more time consuming because it's going to take a few more months than I thought it was going to get me to that next space into showing myself more and making it about me, not all just my work.
Yeah.
And so losing 75 pounds is the biggest blessing in my life. And I can't thank my roommates enough for pushing me to do that. But it's definitely allowed me to be more comfortable in front of the camera, allowed me to do things like this. Like 5 months ago, I probably would have told you no, just because I hated being in front of the camera. I hated the way I looked. I had no self-confidence. And so being able to get into the gym and do that has definitely allowed me to want to turn my brand into more me, focus on me. It's better for when I work with brands and stuff because I now have a face and right. image and personality behind my social media. So brands are more prominent to want to work with me. So it's definitely going to be a blessing in the long run. But right now it's definitely harder trying to switch.
Yeah, it's a shift whole motive. For sure. And it's a shift from your audience standpoint too, right? I mean, they're used to a certain type of content.
They're used to probably attractive girls on my account, and now they're looking at a guy. So
they're like, you know, but that's part of the shift. That's how you get out of that pigeonhole, right? And kind of move into the next chapter of what you want to be doing.
100%.
Which is pretty cool. So let's talk about that next chapter. I mean, you lived out here for a while in Nashville. How long were you out here for?
I moved out here in August. So what, 8 or 9 months?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so it's been fun. I really did enjoy my time out here. I am moving back to California simply because of I need a new space. I've been in this creative block and it's really been hurting my headspace, plus also my work and stuff. I can tell every time I have to go pick up the camera, it's a dang, I have to go shoot right now versus a oh, I get to go shoot right now. This is awesome. 'Cause it's always how I felt my whole life is, wait, this is sick. I get to go do a photo shoot. This is awesome. Right. Especially people that I like shooting and stuff. And even people out here that I like shooting, it's still a, okay, let's go do this photo shoot. I can be done with it. I'll edit it in the next few days and be done.
And it's work.
And it's work. Just, yeah. And it's just work. And I've never wanted photography to feel that way.
And it doesn't pay well enough to be just work.
No, like, not at all. Yeah. And I've tried to tell people that. They're like, oh, you probably do really. I'm like, photography does not pay well. You have to have other
Yeah.
avenues and stuff. And especially out here, there's so many different people you could work with and stuff. And it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It's a lot out here to, it's very dry and cloudy and gray and stuff. And I really love shooting in the sun. It's my go-to. Mm-hmm. That's I'm from California. I've always shot in the sun. Backlit is my go-to. And being out here, it will say sunny, plan a photo shoot, and then it's cloudy all day and it's gray skies. And so that's also probably a really bad factor into my creative block is every time I look outside, it's gray and cloudy.
Yeah.
And don't want to even shoot in that because I never really like how the photos turn out. So I definitely think me moving back to California will give me that new spark and want to be more in front of the camera and really build this personality behind myself.
For sure. And it's such an important thing to realize when it starts to drag or it starts to feel like, you know, you're blocked or like you don't want to go shoot, because that sometimes takes a while to realize. Sometimes your work will suffer, your like life will suffer, and you don't realize it's because you've lost kind of the spark or the joy in doing the work or in the craft. And so acknowledging that and figuring out a way to get out of it is so, so important.
I definitely think my work took a tumble in the last 6 months, and it's definitely gone down, and just less effort was put in, and definitely more of a, let me just get this photo shoot over with, and not really no creativity behind anything and stuff. And I think me filming that first YouTube video with you was definitely a, oh, I need to get my stuff together and figure this out, because I can tell my work's gone down and I can tell I can do better than what I'm doing right now. And I really enjoyed filming that. And it was like a creative, like, spark in my career was, oh wait, I really like this. This is awesome. I need to conquer and do, when I put my mind to something, I like need to finish it. And I really want this YouTube thing to work out. So I'm realistically not going to stop till it does. And I just hit 150K subs the other day. And I honestly, for the past month, I haven't filmed one, and because I've been so busy, and it made it, I hadn't even looked at my YouTube. I haven't posted a short or anything in the past month because I've been such in this creative block, not knowing what I want to do. And then I randomly accidentally clicked on the YouTube Studio app the other day, and it said like 151,000 subs. And I thought I still had like 130. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I don't even post anymore, and their old shorts are going viral and stuff. And so it just like made me realize that I just need to post. Like, yeah. And I can tell everyone that, like, you just need to post. It never will hurt you to hit the post button. I used to post 2 reels a day, and that's when I was gaining the most every single day. I think I went up like 40,000 followers on Instagram that 1 month. I decided to post twice a day. And the more you post, the more brands are going to want to work with you, the more people are going to want to work with you, more jobs you're going to get, more followers. It's like, it never hurts to hit the post button.
Right. I mean, you got to feed the machine, and that's what the apps run on, right? So
literally,
you got to build the algorithm and keep it rolling. It's funny because like so many people wait to post, or they need it to be perfect or whatever, but like it doesn't have to be perfect. You can always archive it. You can always delete it.
Some of my favorite videos that I'm like, oh, this is going to go viral. This is sick. This is my favorite video. 1,000 likes. And yeah. Then some, do I even want to post this? I don't think this is going to go anywhere. 1,000,000 likes. And
yeah,
you never know. And it's, in my opinion, it's always the videos that I love the most that I think are going to do well. Lighting sick, sounds cool, do terrible. And it's, why am I even posting this? Let me just hit post button. It's just a filler post. Goes viral. I gain so much off of it. So right. It's all random. And I feel like social media is made to be this picture perfect world. And I have so much work out there that I don't like, but I keep out there because it keeps getting me views and keeps getting me attraction and brands and stuff. But it's personally, I don't really like it that much, but I have to post it because it's gaining me so much that it's dumb for me not to.
Yeah. I mean, it does become part of the job. And, you know, again, if that's a part of the job you don't like, that's okay. But it's
literally,
it's pretty necessary these days. And it's funny because, like, I'll talk to social media people and, you know, they'll post the same video 5 times over the course of a week or two, and they all do vastly different numbers.
I've posted most of the stuff I post right now on my Instagram is all old videos that I'm just repurposing. And they must, sometimes they've not gone viral a year ago, and then now I'll post them and they go stupid viral. But then some videos, it's polar opposite. It's just random. And I feel like the Instagram and TikTok and all that algorithm changes so fast that a video could have done really bad 6 months ago, and then you repost it and it hits the algorithm and it takes off. It's so random.
No, you really just never know. So someone looking at your work and your portfolio, like, you've worked with some high profile clients and people, how do they typically find you? Are they reaching out? Are you hitting them up?
I guess it depends where I am. In LA, it was definitely a lot of connections. Just people I knew were like, oh, I have a creator that needs a photo shoot, or I meet that creator out at a party or something like that. But here in Nashville, I would say a lot of it is through Instagram. I have a lot of creators, artists that reach out to me. Hey, we want to shoot with you. Honestly, or meeting them out. Like, I've met a lot of creators, artists, people out at the bar. Like, it's, people say going out and stuff is really bad. I find a lot of networking when I go out.
It's a huge networking city. I mean, you have to
be out there. You have to go out here. And same with LA. I feel like you have to go to events. You have to go to places. And here especially is you have to put yourself out there. Go to, even if you don't go drink and stuff, if you just go out and connect with people, the more people you meet here is the more connections. I got introduced to you by someone that I had never even met, but just met through social media.
Yeah, and then it was through Sam, right?
Sam and then Tristity also. Yeah, and I had met Sam. Sam introduced you to me, and so did she. And so it was just like two people that I'd met Sam at Whiskey Row. And then,
Sam's dope. I mean,
yeah, Sam's awesome. And I'd met Sam at Whiskey Row and then had never met Tristity. And they both like connected me with you. And so it was just like a meeting two people that I really had no idea in meeting. I randomly met Sam when I was shooting. I got hired to shoot MGK and at Whiskey Row. And that was a super sick experience. But I met him there because he was doing photos and I was doing video for it. And would I have ever met him if I didn't go to that one shoot? Right. Probably not. Yeah. And it was a last minute thing. They asked me 5 hours before if I could go shoot it. And I said yes, because it's MGK. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And
not?
So, but yeah, I say if you need to network and you want to meet people, someone just DM'd me yesterday night about it. And I read it this morning. It was, how do I introduce myself? How do I meet creators? I want to work with a lot more creators. And you just have to put yourself out there and put yourself in the space to meet the creators. And if you don't, it's really hard. A lot of creators don't check their email. They're not checking their DMs. Most of their emails do go to a spam or their manager, and their manager's not going to forward over a random photography email and stuff. And so I'd say like literally just putting yourself out there is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Networking is so, so important. And just, you know, word of mouth. I mean, if you never know A, who you're meeting, or B, who's watching. And so like it's not put on an act all the time, but if you're authentic and if you, you know, are just a good person, like a majority of the time, people will kind of find you, especially in this town. It's such, I mean, as you've seen, it's such a small community. I don't know if LA is the same way, but
here and there, you know, here is definitely smaller.
Out here, it feels like, at least in the music side of things, everybody kind of knows everybody, and those connections really can pay off pretty quickly.
100%. My mom's always told me, shake the same hand of the person. You don't know what they do. You don't know even if what they're wearing or anything.
Especially here, they might have wrote, you know, the last number one on country radio or whatever.
Like, it's insane the amount of people that you can just casually shake their hand, and then you walk away and your friend's like, oh, that person did this. And you're like, what? That's crazy. I had no idea. And so, I think it's definitely just treating everyone the exact same, not knowing who they are.
Yep.
And it pays off more in the long run than anything.
100%. Sometimes you just walk around with a camera and people come up and they're like, oh, I shoot stuff too. You'll be like, oh, cool. Like, for who? They're like, oh, Morgan Wallen. It's like, you're like, that's sick.
Yeah.
You know, people are friendly out here. Now, I wonder if you found this. I don't know if this is true, but what I've heard is that this scene is a lot more collaborative and a lot more open than maybe in LA or New York. I don't know what your scene is like in LA, but have you found people to be a little more welcoming here or more welcoming in LA?
I would say in the creative space here, for sure. Photographers, videographers, that creative side of things, yes, definitely people are more, hey, what do you shoot? Like, what do you do? Like, what's your Instagram? I'd love to follow you and see your stuff and comment on your stuff. That out here is way different than LA. In LA, and honestly, anywhere I've lived, I feel a lot of photographers are definitely like, and I've been in, I'm not going to say I was never like this, but it's definitely a, oh, you're going to steal my clients, or I don't know if I want to be friends with you because of this. And I do have a lot of photography friends in LA and other places, but here especially, it's a, oh, sick, I might have a shoot for you coming up, or I might have this video job for you that you could crush it on. And that's never been a thing. It's always been, oh, I can't shoot that for you. I don't really know any other photographers. And I feel like that's really big in LA and stuff. And out here, it's definitely way more of a collaborative space and wanting everyone to eat, pretty much.
Yeah. No, it is interesting. Now, in terms of shooting with people, though, you said you found it easier in LA because like finding people to shoot with.
I just feel like there's I don't shoot a lot of artists.
Yeah.
Never have. And honestly, it's never been the venture I've wanted to go down. I mean, it would be awesome to shoot Morgan Wallen and stuff that. But I've never wanted to really dive into the independent artist and stuff like that because I've never really seen – I've never done that side of things. I've dove into really small creators and taken creators from 10,000 followers to 150,000 followers in a matter of a month and a half. And that's really cool for me. Like, I love being able to film creators and having them blow up is super sick. And realistically, I've never done that with an artist, so I wouldn't know even where to start. But I love collaborating with smaller creators. It's super fun to me. If I see a vision in them and see, oh, they have the luck or something, I would love to do it because if they blow up, I blow up too because it gains me a lot of followers. So it's definitely a to give and to get is what I always say is sometimes I do a lot of free photo shoots and a lot of people in the photography space are always against that. And why do you do free work? And I wouldn't be here where I am today without writing some stuff and doing some free work because in the long run, that gets you more money. And for me, at least, because the more followers I have, the more brands want to work with me, the more I get paid from my social media. And so I've definitely done a lot more free shoots than the average person simply because I know in the long run, it will pay off. And dang, this $150 would be great or $200 would be great right now. But I'd rather do the photo shoot and not have them not want to do the photo shoot because I know I'll gain more in the long run.
100%. Yeah, let's talk about that because I've done a lot of free work too and a lot of photography Instagram accounts or people or whatever. Yeah, they're like, don't do free work, know your worth. But I feel like a lot of that's ego driven because they don't either have the patience or they don't see the vision of like connecting with clients. And maybe that person won't blow up, but they'll recommend you to someone who will. And it will all, you know, lead to a better portfolio and a better connections and a better success down the line. I think it's important to do that.
I've always been scared to talk about that on a podcast because it's such a ego driven thing in the photography world.
And people think you're undercutting them or whatever, but 100%. Like, you're just trying to do your art, you know?
And that's what I love the most is, in my opinion, when I do, if I can make my streams of income from something other than just having to click a button on a camera, I am way more happier clicking that button on a camera is because I've always thought when it's someone I really want to shoot, a big influencer or something, I don't want it to be transactional. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to build a relationship with them because how I've always thought about it and what's paid off for me is I'll get these influencers. Maybe I'll do the first shoot for free or whatever. And then they love the photos or love the videos. And then they get a huge brand deal a month later. Hey, will you film this brand deal for me? I'll pay you X amount of money from the brand deal. And then that one photo shoot I did for free just tripled and quadrupled in income because now they want me to film all their brand deals. And I would have not gotten that if I would have just said, oh yeah, this photo shoot's going to be $350 or this photo shoot's going to be $250. And so biting that in the butt and getting after the end goal really is always longer than just that one transactional photo shoot. And I feel like a lot of photographers look past that and they're like, oh, this person doesn't want to pay me. They don't admire my work or they don't.
100%.
And it's not that. I feel like realistically in my space now doing these YouTube videos, I looked at your Instagram and you had hundreds of work on your Instagram to where it made sense for me to pay you. And I had videographers that reached out to me when I posted about it that were like, oh, I'll do it for free. And I looked at their work and was like, I'd rather invest in my
in the product
to have a better product. And I feel like by now on my social media, if I were to charge someone, it wouldn't be that bad of a thing to do just because I have so much work out there. But I feel like a lot of creators and a lot of photographers, I mean, are wanting to charge for something where they don't have a lot of work out there. Their work isn't the top of the line quality where someone could go get a free photo shoot from. Realistically, I would give a lot of creators free photo shoots because I'll gain a lot more than just that transactional fee.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of photographers look past that and don't see the vision in to give and to get. Like you 100%. Have to give a little bit and you're going to get 100 times more back if you just trust the process.
Absolutely. And it's so hard to come into it with a transactional mindset. Like when someone is too focused on money, whether it's an artist or another photographer, then it's kind of, it takes away from the craft a little bit, because I don't personally want to come into it with the mindset of, oh, I'm doing this to make X amount of dollars. You know, I'm doing it because it's a project that I want to be passionate about. And like, if I was just going to go make money, I could go work somewhere else. Like, I'm not doing it to, you know, obviously I want to support myself, but I'm not doing it just to get a paycheck. I'm doing it because I enjoy whatever I'm creating. So, you know, like if an artist hits me up and they're like, hey, I have this budget, that's great. But like, what's your vision? What's your project? Why is this worth my time and energy to, you know, create something? And then I'll work with you for less money because, you know, I believe in the vision.
100%. And I've always said that to every younger photographer, photographers that are starting out, is you really have to love what you do. And if you don't, your work's not going to turn out well. And you're just going to be more stressed if you're worrying about, oh, well, I just did this photo shoot, they just paid me, I have to send them the photos right away. And when you do a lot more free work, you have a little bit more lenience on creative freedom and stuff like that. And you really get to show your true side of photography that you love. And if you haven't found a niche that you want to stay in and stuff, free work is honestly really good, because practice makes perfect. Yep. And if I would have charged every single creator that I've ever wanted to work with, I wouldn't have probably worked with half of the creators I've been able to post on my social media and been able to say I've worked with. And being able to say, oh, I did this shoot or I was on this project, has helped me get more projects way down the line. And it's honestly something that I don't ever regret doing. I don't ever regret just giving a lot of free work out, because it's not something that, I've already bought the camera, I've already bought the lens, it's probably already paid itself off to the point where it's not a, the only thing I'm losing is what, gas to get to the photo shoot.
Right.
And so, I mean, I cannot stress enough that to free work is never that bad.
Agreed. 100%. And you got to think too, like if you're someone starting out, or even if you're established, like it's not, you know, you, what does that do for your reputation if you're coming out and swinging around big numbers and you can't deliver on it? Like your career is going to be dead before it starts.
100%.
You know, you can't get that reputation.
And people talk so much, and if you screw one person over, people are going to be scared to work with you again. And so it's definitely a don't bite too much, you can't, like,
for sure. And I think people come in with big dreams, which is great. People are ambitious. But, like, you got to learn the craft. You got to work your way through it. You got to build up the knowledge and the skills and the experience with dealing with situations. Because we can talk about this. I mean, I've showed up to shoots and forgot cards. I've showed up to shoots and forgot
the audio.
What? Yeah, we can tell that story. You know, yeah, mess ups happen. So it's building up that experience to learn. For people who don't know, the first shoot that I did with Damien, we were shooting a YouTube video, and I had never run 120 FPS on my camera before, so I didn't realize that it didn't record the audio to it. If you got an R5C out there, be careful, because you need two cards in there if you're going to try to record audio while you do 120 FPS. And so we filmed a lot of the video. We got some audio.
Yeah.
In 60, and then we filmed a lot of the video in 120, and there was no audio. And Damien texted me. He was like, dude, like, where's the audio?
I was like, is there other audio files? Like, I was really confused.
And I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it was rough. It was a rough 24 hours for sure, but we figured it out.
We figured it out, and, you know, we got back there and did some pickup shots.
100%.
Learned from it. But, yeah, I mean, that's what happens. You always get hit with things that, you know, you're not expecting, or things go wrong. I've heard stories of cameras breaking. You know,
SD cards.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
I've lost some SD cards.
Yeah,
so.
You use a SD card, a drive corrupts, whatever. Like, things happen in this industry. And, you know, I think the important thing is to communicate through that and take accountability, right? I mean, that's kind of like if I'm working with a client and something goes wrong, or even if the photos don't come out how I want them to or whatever, I'm like, hey, like, you know, this is what happened. This is life. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe there was some dust on the lens or whatever. It's like,
you can't control everything.
No, and maybe you give them a refund. Maybe they're like, oh, it's cool. Like, let's just go reshoot. Whatever it is, like, there's ways to work through mistakes as long as you take accountability. And I think there's a lot of people in this industry who don't necessarily do that. I don't want to say like people don't, because most people do, but that's an easy way to get out of the industry for someone trying to do, you know, things like we're doing. Like, if you don't take accountability, then you will not stick around for very long.
Yeah, and it's on the creator thing too, is if I don't take accountability with the creator, it's they don't want to work with me. And the same thing I've told creators is you have to take accountability. Yep. And if you can't take accountability for something that you messed up, a timeline on a video you needed back for a brand, you tell me Friday and then you text me Monday and say you need it today. And it's like, I have a life too. And so it's them taking accountability. It's both sides being able to take accountability makes your partnership and relationship with the creator, the artist, everything last way longer and be able to flourish.
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways, and that's why the relationship is so important. And, you know, the thing that, like, you got to remember is most people have been in the same spot you are. If you make a mistake or you are in over your head, most people have been there. And so if you're like, if I'm working with someone who's been in the industry for 20 years and they, you know, worked on big budget music videos or whatever, and I mess up, like, they've probably been in my shoes. So they're not going to be, you know, they might be like disappointed. They might be like, oh man, like this sucks. We got to figure out a way around it. But they're not going to be mad at you as a person unless you try to cover it up and you try to like lie your way out of it. Then you're going to suffer for it.
100%.
You know, that's probably one of the biggest lessons that I would say to someone trying to come into the industry is like, just be communicative, be honest, and people will help you out through those moments. What is some advice that you have other than that for someone who's trying to break into filming with creators or just filming photos in general?
I would say start shooting.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask, what camera do I need? You don't need the fanciest camera. The first camera I ever started with was an Icon D300S, and it was a D300, and then I invested in the S because the S had video, and the D300 did not have video.
Good thing that you did.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But like, obviously now I have some of the fanciest gear you can have. It's because it's my whole career and livelihood. Right. But when you're starting out, you don't need to go buy the nicest Sony, the nicest Nikon, the nicest Canon, whatever camera is out. Literally, I've seen people start with an iPhone or start with those G7Xs that every girl shoots with right now are insane. Some of the photos I see on there from my friends that post them, I'm like, did you shoot that with your G7X? And they're like, yeah.
I mean, what do we have in here? We have little Lumix Gs. And
literally, you don't need the nicest camera. You don't need the best equipment to start. If you just start shooting, some people I know have bought the nicest cameras, bought the nicest gear, started shooting. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can pick up a camera, and they don't like it. And then they end up selling their gear. And so literally, just start with whatever camera you have, whatever camera's in front of you, whatever camera's in your budget. You don't need to pull out a loan to get a camera and stuff. Literally just start shooting, and you'll find way more. You have to love shooting photography. And I've realized that over the past 3 months I've been in this creative block, is going back to my fundamentals. Do I love shooting? Mm-hmm. Answer is yes. But did I love shooting 6 months prior? Probably not. It was a job. It was a hassle to go shoot. And now it's the past month being able to only do one or two photo shoots and really diving back into the art of photography. And I had to love what I did from the start when I was a 14 to 18 year old high schooler. I loved doing photography. I loved picking up the camera. It's my favorite thing to go shoot my friends playing sports and stuff. And so you have to love what you do, and you have to love creating to be able to show people your work and stuff. And I can tell when a photographer and videographer loves what they do. You can tell that in their work, and the work they put out is great quality content. And you can tell when a creator is driven down or not having as much fun doing it as they used to. And so I would literally just say, go shoot, go create content. And it never hurts to create content and post as much as you can.
No, never. And it's like any artistic field. Yeah, you can sense passion in it, and you can sense just the drive that someone has. So it's so important to capture that. And it's hard sometimes, like if you start to lose that, you know, like how do you get it back? And you have to go back to the basics. You have to go back to where it all started. And, you know, have you ever considered shooting more sports? I mean, is that
be shooting sports all summer this summer in California. I'm going back. My mentor, he's probably the best human being I've ever met. And I probably would have quit photography 2.5-3 years ago if I didn't have met him. His name's Michael and he lives in Florida. And if I wouldn't have met him, I would have quit photography 2.5-3 years ago. He's gotten me to the point I am today and helped me more than I could ever pay him back for money wise or anything. And he got me this soccer shoot over the summer and I'll be shooting soccer all summer. And that's how I started shooting was soccer. I tore my ACL playing soccer. So it's always, soccer's always been my go-to thing. And so it's definitely going to be, I think, get my creative space back and stuff. And so, and I think that's also why I agreed to do the shoot. It's not, there's not a lot of money in shooting soccer and stuff like that in sports, but one, I wanted to help him out. And two, I really needed it for my career is to restart and find out what I truly still love picking up the camera because I haven't lately. And so I cannot thank him enough for giving me this job and stuff and being able to say, hey, go shoot this. Like, I think you should. And so I just can't, I would not be where I am today without him. And he's helped me more than I could ever imagine.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that's going to be such a good reset to just be on the sidelines and be around that energy and switch it up.
Yeah, just from doing the portrait shoots, I cannot keep doing them. So I'm glad I'm deciding to go shoot soccer again.
Yeah, that's what I've enjoyed about music is that it's different every day. Like some days we'll be doing a visualizer. You know, the other day I went to Plaza Mariachi, which when you come back out here to come visit, you should go there and get some tacos because they're crazy.
Wait, you shot a mariachi band?
No, I shot for this guy, Sammy Arriaga. We were doing a visualizer for his new song at Plaza Mariachi. So he played there and it was during the tornado warning, which was kind of crazy.
That's wild.
But it was a lot of fun. I mean, they had salsa dancers. They had like, he played, they had the circus dancers with the hoops. Like it was wild, dude. So, but it's different every day. And so it kind of mixes it up versus just doing portraits or just doing a certain, you know, sect. Like
I've always been envy about that side of things. Working with artists is you work with a lot of artists and I see what you post and I see your Instagram stories and stuff. Like you were at the Grand Ole Opry and
stuff. Yeah, that was cool yesterday.
That's all, that side of things is so sick because you're working with so many other artists and they're all doing different things.
They all have different visions, which is cool. Yeah.
And when I do these portrait shoots, especially out here in Nashville, it's, hey, let's go to an open field. Let's put on some boots and jeans and let's go shoot something. And so definitely, that's what I like about soccer too. It's always changing. You get the celebration, you get a corner kick, you get a free kick, whatever. And so I definitely think that side of things is going to bring back a lot of creative spark in me because going out and shooting in an open field, filming 3 TikToks, filming some photos, 2 different outfits, whatever it is killing me on the inside.
Yeah,
so,
there's only so much you can do with that, right?
Yes. Like, and so the creative block is definitely happening in full stride and I definitely think you can get out of a creative block. I've gotten out of one before.
For
and
sure,
so
yeah.
It's definitely going to be a nice reset going home and shooting something different.
Definitely. And it's funny you're doing sports because I was in sports journalism school at Arizona State, and that's where I first really picked up a camera. And I've been thinking a lot, and I think I'm going to do it this year, is just getting like a media pass for high school football and just going and making something cool. Like, you know, I'll send them the photos and whatever, but like just go shoot some cool cinematic, just like sports, just kind of as a release, you know, like detach from music, detach from artists and just go have fun with it.
I literally was thinking the exact same thing because I shot high school sports my whole life. And so I wanted to go, one of my friends, he's a football player and still in high school. And I was like, let's go film something this summer because I need to film something to get out of this space I'm in. And so, yeah, I've had that same exact thinking is, but I want to go shoot just something.
It's important. And like, I want to do, here's another one. I'm going to say it on the podcast so that I have to do it. Is I've been wanting to do these little series on bagel shops in Nashville because there is so many bagel shops out here. You'd be shocked. I don't know if you've been to too many of them.
I don't think I've ever been to a bagel place out here, but my friend Cade in Alabama, every time I go to Alabama, me and him will get bagels. We've done it like 3 or 4 times, and he loves bagels. He's like the biggest bagel fanatic. And he was telling me the other day, literally yesterday, I went to lunch with him in Bama, and he told me he loves this bagel place in Nashville. And I was like,
did he say which one?
No, I forget what he said. But
yeah, so me and my fiance try, like, every Sunday we'll go try a new bagel. And so I've been putting together this little ranking sheet of, like, my favorite.
Is there that
spots.
Many bagel places?
Dude, there's so many. It's insane, actually. So I want to do, like, this little series. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the New York Times does them where they'll spend, like, a morning at a restaurant or, like, Bon Appetit does them.
Yeah, I
and
have.
So do, like, a little mini series on, like, a couple different bagel shops in Nashville, you know, just over, like, a couple weeks, and just do, like, some cool cinematic documentary looks at, like,
no, that would be
what
sick.
Sets them apart and, like, I don't know. It's a really cool. It's a cool bagel scene.
That's crazy.
You would never expect it.
I don't think I've ever heard someone tell me Nashville's a cool bagel
scene,
except for my friend Cade yesterday.
So, like, no, but see, like, it's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
So I want to highlight that. So I'm saying this on the podcast because I've thought about it for a while, but I'm putting it into the universe. Like,
that's
good. Gonna make it happen. Yeah, yeah. So I think that'd be fun.
Can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be solid. Maybe get some free bagels out of it. But
that,
like,
would be sick.
Those kind of projects, I think, are important, and just like mixing up what you're doing creatively, because people don't think about it. Like, songwriters do it all the time, artists do it all the time. They'll go on retreats, they'll take breaks, they'll go make some different types of music, you know. But photographers, I think, can get pigeonholed into, oh, I only do music videos, or oh, I only do portraits, or I do this, or, you know, I'm a wedding photographer. So, like, mixing it up is so important creatively. You learn new things, you keep it fresh for yourself, for people around you. That's kind of the crux of it. I mean, you got to keep the creative energy flowing.
Literally.
You know, you can't. Yeah. Let's talk about your gear, because you have some cool gear. You're still on Nikon, right? Or did you switch to Sony? Canon?
I was told I'm not supposed to talk about my gear
because
I might have a camera brand deal coming soon. So okay. I don't want to pigeon my hole into something.
Smart.
That's why I never talked about it in the YouTube video. I never put it in because
that's a good point.
I'm trying to work out a camera brand deal.
I like it.
And it's probably not going to be with the camera I shoot right now. But I started with a Nikon D300S or D300, then moved to D300S so I could shoot video.
Yeah.
The video on that thing. Now shooting mirrorless. I shoot mirrorless now. But shooting a DSLR video on a camera that was made in probably 2005, the 2 years after I was born, was obviously cool at the start because I never knew anything better. That was the best I'd ever shot. And so now looking back on it, I don't know how I even, like, if you were to give me that camera now, I'd be lost.
Yeah.
And then I went to a D500, Nikon D500. And then that camera is what I blew up on. That's like, and if you were to go look at that, I think they sell that camera right now for $700, $650. And people are always shocked that that's the camera I blew out there. Oh, you used them big, nice camera. And it really wasn't. And it was really nice at the time. I loved it. And now looking back on it, I am so happy my dad always forced me to not just go buy the nicest camera, because it taught me to love photography, not just love creating content. It really... in my opinion, there is a big difference. Is if you just go buy the nicest camera, and the nicest cameras right now, I genuinely feel like, are photography for dummies. It's you can put the thing in auto if you really wanted to and take an amazing photo. And back then, or on those older cameras, the auto isn't great.
No, and if you're doing that though, like, you're not gonna fall in love with the craft. That's
mm-mm.
the thing.
Not at all. And so ever since the first day I picked up a camera, my father made me put it in manual. I've never once shot an auto in my life, and I used to hate him for it because I was like, dude, this makes it way harder. Like, why can't I just put it in A and shoot whatever? And he was like, no, in the long run, you're going to love me for this. So I've never shot anything in auto, and I think that's helped me so much, is having to learn what the shutter speed means, having to learn what the f-stop means, everything like that, the ISO, all that. And if he would have just said, oh, yeah, go put it in an auto, go shoot whatever you want, I would have never learned, because I probably would have just taken the easy way out and kept it on auto. And the photos look fine,
but
it's never,
you probably wouldn't have fallen in love with photography as much.
Never.
Because you don't have as much control over the product you're creating. And it's just,
it's just, you're hitting a button at that point. You're not doing your settings. You're not, nothing's different than pretty much you handing the camera to Billy Bob Joe down the road and right. telling him to shoot the same photo as you, he can. And so I genuinely think that it does not matter the gear you have. It's really just going out and learning your camera. If you master your camera, whatever's in front of you, that camera that's in front of you, you'll be able to create really good content.
For sure. And it's almost a deficit to start out with a really nice camera because you don't learn the craft. You don't learn how to like tell a story through a photo. You don't learn how to compose. You know, you only see the results and you're very results driven at that point. You don't fall in love with the process if you start with, you know,
the nicest.
You're not going to figure out what separates you from other photographers, and you're not going to develop a style. You're not going to develop a look. So, you know, you talk about your backlighting. Where did that come from?
Honestly, I don't want to give my dad too much props because it'll boost his ego too much, but I do think it came from him. He shoots a lot of backlit stuff, and I've never liked direct sunlight, and it's definitely came from him. It's too harsh, and I've always thought that, and it's all a personal preference. It's never, there's not right or wrong, and I love shooting backlit. I love the sun flares that it gives me and stuff, and a lot of photographers don't shoot backlit, and so I think that's what made my photography stand out a lot is the fact that I do shoot backlit, because a lot of photographers don't.
Yeah.
And he's definitely taught me to shoot backlit when I was a kid. And I just love how soft it is on the skin, how bright it is. And honestly, every time I see one of my backlit photos, I just think of like happiness and energetic and stuff. And when I've shot direct sunlight, I have a lot of creators and models that I work with that love direct sunlight. So I do shoot it here and there. But I just prefer backlit. It's always been my style and stuff. And it's definitely came from him.
For sure. No, that's really cool. It's funny because I like cloudy days personally. Like, I just like the soft light. Not like heavy clouds, not dark clouds, but like a nice soft light gray like sky. Like, you know, like a Seattle sky. Like that's...
That makes sense though.
You coming
from Seattle, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's kind of my comfort zone. And I like the colors a lot with that. Like I like to do some more muted colors, and I feel like it kind of fits with that vibe.
100%.
But yeah, I love that everyone has their own styles and their own preferences, and you know, hopefully that doesn't go away. I don't know, like, you know, we're entering the AI era, and an AI can't take an amazing photo, at least yet. Yes. Right. But you know, it's almost like we're seeing more and more like AI photographers, where it's like people just have this vision of what a photo should look like, and they go out and try to recreate it versus kind of figuring out what they like in their own style.
Yeah, I've never gotten into the Photoshop space. I'm terrible. Like, I've had people ask me, like, oh, can you smooth my skin? And, like, it's don't do it. Yeah. And so I was talking to my dad about this a few weeks ago. He's like, why have you never dove into the Photoshop, like, space? Because he doesn't do it. He's very basic on his editing. Like, my edits are too much for him sometimes, and I don't even edit much. And I wouldn't say I'm worried about the AI stuff, just because they can't go take a photo. They can't have that human interaction.
And there is advantages to it. I mean,
They can't have that human interaction. They can't make the model feel comfortable. They can't make the model actually have a genuine smile and stuff like that. So I think there's definitely sides to it. But I mean, in Lightroom right now, you can go type in an AI and it makes the sky a different color, adds clouds to
the
sky.
Or the denoise or whatever. Like,
I actually swear by the denoise. The denoise is pretty cool. Probably my favorite feature on Lightroom.
It is pretty wild.
The AI thing.
There is good AI.
There was great AI, and I just don't know how I feel about adjusting the whole sky or adding so many clouds into the sky, because it just wasn't that during the shoot. And
that's kind of the sports in you too, I feel like, where you were trying to capture a moment as it is versus...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I saw this video the other day of this guy that literally added a football into the guy's hand because he dropped the football.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now it was a great photo afterwards, but I was like, dude, that's crazy. Like, it's not even, there's no art to that anymore. No. And so I definitely think there's benefits to AI. The denoise, best thing Lightroom's ever done, but there's definitely some scary parts about it for sure, I think.
The generative fill is nice sometimes. You can
gotten it to work, really. I'm going to be honest.
It's got to be the right photo. Yeah. You know, you got to have something.
I've gotten it to work one or two times, and other than that, it's been rough.
Yeah. I've used it to get rid of like signs that shouldn't be there or whatever. But yeah, I try not to use it too much. But it is, I mean, it definitely can be a trap. And I think like there's definitely good AI features. If they had a feature that would go through, learn from me on what photos I like to select from a shoot and pick out the good photos, that would be
sick. That would be sick.
That'd be a great feature.
That would be cool. I'm trying to think, what would I want?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would be pretty
That would
there.
Be tight. Like, if it could actually learn from my patterns of, like, selecting shots and then
I feel like
that,
it could do that.
Though. I'm sure it could. I think if they wanted to release that feature, they could. That would be cool. Or, like, a plugin to do that would be dope.
Yeah, I think that would probably be my favorite feature. That would be just cool. Save you so much time.
Oh, yeah. No, it'd be great. It could just go right through the folder and pick the good ones, and I'll be like, sure. Like, I'll take these, and then, you know, you could always do it manually if you needed to, but...
Yeah, that's great. I like that.
That'd be cool, yeah. Adobe, I
Let's
hope.
Let's get that. Ike wants royalties.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Or I'll make the plugin. I don't know AI, but I'll make the plugin. That would be cool. What is your philosophy on like colors in photos? Do you try to match like as real as you can, or are you changing stuff?
I make all my own presets, and I've never mastered the color wheel that people talk about all the time. I have had photographers be like, oh, do you match this color with this color? And it's really just like whatever my brain thinks it looks good.
I'm the same way.
And so I've made all my own presets. I've released them before and stuff. And the preset that I'm using right now, it's very same colors. It's kind of just a little brighter version with a little bit of grain. And I stick to the same colors. I don't like the crazy out there photos that change everything. I would say I definitely have, I've always had a muted greens. My greens are always a little bit muted, but this new filter that I've been on for the past 3 months or so is definitely a less muted greens. And it's definitely just a vibrant, I would say happier filter. And I really like it right now. And so I would say my whole career has been muted greens, but lately it's changing to a more brighter ultimate photo, but I never am really the type of vibe to go and change all the colors and change everything. I've always liked the natural look, and I think that's obviously came from my dad because he's so old school when it comes to photography. There was never you go change all these colors in photos. It was always pretty much just classic clean, like whatever is
for sure
in the photo, it's in the photo. And
I mean, you're setting up the photo as it is for a reason, right?
Yep.
If you're going to change it, you should have changed it while you're taking it.
Literally.
And, you know, probably working with creators, a lot of times their outfits are pretty intentional, right? So they want it to look a certain way, and you got to honor that vision as well.
100%.
Before we go, has there been a shoot where you have just been like, holy cow, I can't believe I'm shooting with this person or in this location or getting to shoot what I'm shooting?
Let's see. I would probably say the Machine Gun Kelly one was pretty cool because I hadn't shot an artist since I was probably like 19. I used to shoot some in LA for sure. But I would say MGK was pretty cool. Dream shoot is Megan Roney. Please hit me up. I'll do anything. I'll fly wherever to shoot you. But I would say Machine Gun Kelly, Little Nas X was pretty cool, just because it was like in his prime and it was like really cool to shoot. And David Dobrik was a pretty cool shoot. Let's see, who else? I guess just like there's a lot of artists and a lot of, I don't shoot artists. Like we were talking about that on the drive over here. Yeah. I don't shoot artists, nor do I really care to dive into the artist space, but I feel like my dream photo shoots happen to mostly be artists because I've shot a lot of influencers in the creator space where you've met them, and I feel like I haven't dove into the artist space, nor do I want to turn my career into shooting artists. But I feel like just because I listen to their music and stuff all the time, that it makes me be, oh, it'd be sick to shoot this person. So I'd say a lot of my dream photo shoots are artists, but I've shot a lot of creators that I've always had a dream to shoot, and there's a lot, but I would say David Dobrik, Machine Gun Kelly, Little Nas X. I feel like there's one more I'm forgetting, but that's like, I feel like the main like three that I could possibly think of would be those three.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, sweet. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
This is, do you want to plug your socials real quick?
All my socials are just Damian Brunton. you should be able to find it. Damian, and then Brunton, Brunton. But yeah.
Sweet. Well, I'm Mike Everard. This has been Behind the Music Biz.